Hare Krishna.
We're continuing our discussion of Bhakti Bhava, the emotions of a devotee performing devotional service. Naturally, because we are all devotees, we are very much concerned with devotional service. And as we've been discussing, devotional service means emotions. Devotional service means inner fulfillment and inner expression. Now normally, or abnormally, we want these things from material life. From material life, we expect that our heart will be somewhat satisfied. Maya invites you, just apply your mind and senses to sense gratification, and you will feel some peace and satisfaction.
Maya приглашает нас попробовать применить свои чувства, ум, чувственное наслаждение, и почувствовать удовлетворение и покой.
Isn't that so?
Разве это не так?
Maya invites you. I know you have a hole in your heart, and I know just how to fill that hole.
Maya приглашает вас. Я знаю, что у тебя есть трещина в сердце. Я знаю, как ее заполнить.
Yes, everyone knows what it feels like to have a hole in the heart. Some inner emptiness. You don't feel like you're loving and getting love. So therefore, what is the conclusion? I need to do something with my mind and senses. And so you think, if I'll act for material pleasure, then I'll be emotionally fulfilled. Isn't that what we think? Because everyone wants to feel good about themselves. So therefore you interact with the material energy in order to express your inner self. The problem is that your so-called inner self is a shell. Shell. The body, mind, intelligence, false ego, these are a shell that covers the real self.
Оболочка, которая покрывает истинное я.
You all know that.
Вы все знаете об этом.
Now, how can you get in touch with the emotions of your real self?
Как же мы сможем соприкоснуться с эмоциями нашего подлинного я?
That's what you have to be concerned.
Вот это нам должно интересовать всех.
Otherwise, if you're simply trying to contact yourself by touching the shell, you'll never be satisfied. Just like you take a coconut and you try to relish the juice on the inside of a coconut by chewing on the outside of the coconut shell. You know, inside the coconut there's the white pulp and there's the juice. You have to crack the coconut to get inside. But instead of doing that, you take up the coconut and you just try to chew on the outside of the shell. How satisfied will you be? You'll not be satisfied and you'll get tired jaws from chewing. If you want to relish the coconut, you have to know the art of going inside. Now, what is the inside life like? In other words, what is life like when we engage in devotional service?
Какова же внутренняя жизнь? Как она выглядит? То есть, когда мы занимаемся преданным служением.
There we feel when we serve Krishna that there's so much I need to do in order to improve.
Мы, когда мы служим Кришне, мы почувствуем, что у меня столько еще всего можно улучшать.
A natural devotee always feels that there's unlimited room for improvement in my service. A natural devotee feels that in order for me to do this service properly, I have to improve in so many ways.
Настоящий преданный он считает, что для того, чтобы должным образом служить Кришне, у меня еще не початый край работы, чтобы улучшать себя.
First, I have to feel like that before I can understand the higher levels of Bhakti Baba.
Прежде всего, я должен научиться чувствовать именно так себя, прежде чем перейти к каким-то возвышенным эмоциям Бхакти Бабы.
Now, what was Srila Prabhupada's idea when he set up ISKCON with so many types of devotional service?
Какой целью задавал Шрила Прабхупада, основывая ИСККОН с всевозможными разнообразными видами преданного служения?
What was his idea?
Какова была его цель?
His idea was that there be available so many challenging types of services for devotees to do.
Его цель была такова, чтобы у преданных была возможность заниматься всевозможными видами деятельности, служения.
And because the services are challenges, therefore, you have to become more pure in order to do the service.
Именно представляющим таким служением, требующим от нас отдачи всех наших сил, и поскольку это служение требует от нас отдачи сил, нам необходимо очиститься, чтобы делать это служение.
In other words, a devotee should have something he or she can do for Krishna that makes you cry out for the Lord's mercy.
Иными словами, преданный должен делать что-то такое, что он или она может делать для Кришны, для того, чтобы вызывать Кришне милости.
Whether you're living at home or in the temple, you should feel, unless I become more pure, how can I do these things I'm supposed to do?
То есть, живете ли вы в храме или дома, вы должны чувствовать, что если я не стану чище, то я как я смогу выполнять это служение, которое я должен.
That's what Srila Prabhupada had in mind when he established ISKCON. And you can look at all the different activities in ashrams and see how this challenge is there. Now, many of you live at home, so you're thinking, where's the challenge? Is the challenge just for those who live in the temple? No, living at home is a challenge. How to keep Krishna in the center? How you can work a job and live at home and still be Krishna conscious? This is a big challenge.
Это большое предание научиться жить так, чтобы поддерживать дом, работать и сохранить Кришну в центре своей деятельности.
So by trying to accomplish that challenge, you realize, I must become pure.
И чтобы двигаться таким образом, мы должны думать, что я должен очиститься для этого.
The more pure you become, the more you realize, I'm Krishna's humble servant.
Чем чище мы становимся, тем больше мы понимаем, что я лишь смиренный слуга Кришны.
Remember yesterday we talked about the ego of Advaita Acharya?
Помните, вчера мы говорили о эго Advaita Acharya?
See, Krishna consciousness involves positive ego, real ego.
Сознание Кришны подразумевает положительное, настоящее эго.
And material life involves false ego.
Материальная жизнь требует ложного эго.
In the process of sense gratification, your ego is distorted, it's perverted. In material life, your real identity is repressed. That's why material life feels so uncomfortable. Unless you take intoxication. And why does everyone take intoxication? Because they feel awkward in their material existence. Now, what did Advaita Acharya say about his self-expression? Remember, he would jump up saying, I'm the servant of Lord Chaitanya, I'm the servant of Lord Chaitanya, I'm the servant of his servants. So, how did he express himself? With his words, he said, I am Lord Chaitanya's servant. With his mind, he thought of himself as a devotee of the Lord. And with his body, he worshipped the Lord. And he preached the message of Lord Chaitanya. This is real ego. Real self-expression. Now, we were speaking about how sometimes devotees have difficulty seeing how even Krishna's associates in Goloka Vrindavan see themselves as his servants. We were talking about Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda. And then yesterday we spoke about the cowherd boy. The cowherd boys, sometimes they would climb on Krishna's shoulders, sometimes they would wrestle with him. But they always rendered service to Krishna. By fanning Krishna with handheld fans and massaging Krishna's feet. So, remember the question Krishnadas Goswami asked, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami asked. Who is there that doesn't have feelings of servitude to Krishna? Even Lord Balaram feels himself to be a servant of Krishna. So why don't we feel that way? Now you understand the effect of living in the kingdom of Maya. You forget your natural feelings of service to Krishna. Now, today we're going to focus upon the most difficult devotees to see as servants of Krishna. Krishna's consorts in Vrindavan. How can Krishna's girlfriends be his servants? Naturally, you think like that. Because when you look at the material world, you see that romance is simply an exchange of sense gratification. And an exchange of service. But one person gives service to the other in order to get something back. Now, how can the gopis who are completely in love with Krishna, how can they be his servants? This takes some help from Krishna's Kaviraj Goswami. He says, even the beloved girlfriends of Lord Krishna in Vrindavan, the gopis, the dust of whose feet was desired by Sri Uddhava, and who are more dear to Krishna than anyone else, they regard themselves as Krishna's maidservants. And when they were feeling separation from Krishna, they would say, we are your maid servants, please be visible to us. Now, we've spoken before about the mystical nature of the gopis' love for Krishna. Why is it very mysterious? Because they never wanted any happiness for themselves. How many of you have entered into a relationship with someone and not expected any happiness for yourself? Who here has done that? But that is the nature of the gopis' love for Krishna. Why were the gopis in relationship with Krishna? Because they simply wanted to give Krishna pleasure. That's all. It's very difficult to understand. This is real love. So next time someone tells you they love you, you can think about the standard in Goloka Vrindavan and wonder, is it true? Is there really love in the material world? We were discussing this just a little bit in Kiev. We didn't want to discuss it too much. Because if devotees are not completely ready to hear about this, then they become disturbed. What? How can it be so? There's no love in this world. I can't believe it. Is this what you're saying, Krishna consciousness is? What do you think? What do you think? How many of you feel comfortable hearing a statement that there's no love in the material world? Raise your hand. How many feel a little uncomfortable about it? Raise your hand. Come on, come on. There's more, a few honest ones. Yes, most feel a little bit uncomfortable, yes? It's a little too much, right? Yeah? Well, maybe that's, you know, heavy Hare Krishna talk. We should get away from these kind of statements. So I didn't want to talk too much about it in Kiev. Was I right? But if you actually understand Krishna's affairs in Goloka Vrindavan, then you'll see why you can make such a statement. But if all that you mostly know about is the affairs of the material world, then you'll be very defensive. You know how it feels to be personally defensive about something? If someone attacks something that's close to you, dear to you, you get defensive. What is something we could talk about that you would become defensive about? Most devotees, they know I was a nonsense before. They're not defensive about it. Is there anyone here who thought they were a great saint before coming to Krishna
consciousness?
The embodiment of religion and morality? So, no, no, well, you're not defensive because you understand. What do people get defensive about in the material world? Your body
тело.
No one likes their body to be criticized.
Никто не хочет, чтобы тело критиковали.
Their personality.
Их личность.
You hate it if someone criticizes your personality, don't you?
Вы не можете, когда кто-то вашу личность, вас лично критикует.
I say, you talk too much.
Я говорю, ты слишком много болтаешь.
No one likes to be criticized for their physical beauty.
Никому не нравится его физические черты, внешность критикуют.
You don't go up to someone and say, you know, I want to just tell you that you're really ugly.
Вы не подходите к человеку и говорите, знаешь, я признался, что очень уродливый.
No one does that, right?
Никому это не понравится.
Everyone is very defensive.
Все сразу начинают защищаться.
So not only are you defensive about your own body and mind, but you're defensive about bodies and minds in relation to your body and mind.
И вы защищаетесь не только в отношении своего тела, но также в отношении тех тел, которые связаны с вашим телом и умом.
If someone criticizes a dear relative of yours, you become upset.
Если кто-то вашего дорогого родственника критикует, вы можете рассердиться.
And if you're a normal materialist, if someone criticizes the land of your birth, you'll probably be disturbed.
Если в отношении, например, обычного материалиста, если кто-то покритикует его родину, то он очень беспокоится.
If someone came up here and said, "Ah, Ukraine is a nonsense country."
Кто-то пришел, приехал на Украину, сказал, "А это Украина?"
You
would.
Oh, you would be a little disturbed.
Вы бы немножко позитивнее.
Yeah. Yeah,
that?
It's a nonsense country. How can anyone live in that place? Yeah, you'd be a little... It also depends on where, what country the criticizer is from.
Yeah?
Yeah. If they're Russian or Polish and they come here and criticize them.
I don't
know. You don't care? I think I've told you before, when I was a new devotee, you know what the biggest challenge, the biggest barrier to my becoming Krishna conscious was? The biggest test of my faith? I had no problems with anything else.
Никаких проблем у меня больше не было.
Nothing in Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita.
Все мне нравилось, и Бхагаватам, и Чайтанья
Everything Prabhupada did.
Все, что делал Прабхупада.
No problem.
Никаких проблем не было.
What was the one thing I had a problem with?
Какой проблема? Единственная проблема, я столкнулся.
And Prabhupada would criticize New York.
Прабхупада критиковал Нью-Йорк.
My hometown.
Мой родной город.
And Prabhupada, he would really criticize.
It's
a horrible city.
Ужасный город.
So much noise.
Столько шума.
Dirty.
Грязь.
Godless people.
Безбожники сплошные.
Can you say like that? I was thinking.
Как вы можете это говорить?
It's a wonderful city.
Это замечательный город.
The city that never sleeps, they call it.
Город, который никогда не спит.
Yes. You can walk out on the street at 3 o'clock in the morning and it'll be like Kyiv at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Sense gratification anytime, any place. In so many varieties of material things to do. So it was a real test of my Krishna conscious faith when Prabhupada would start criticizing New York. Now if someone criticizes New York, I couldn't care less. I don't care about any place in the material world. But in the beginning, yes, I was very sensitive. And okay, Prabhupada doesn't understand. So this shows how we get defensive when we don't know there's something better. Similarly, if we say there's no love in the material world, you get defensive. A little bit, yeah. Right? So. Well, I don't know, Maharaj. Externally, you'll say, da, da, but internally, you're thinking. You start thinking, oh, I've had a few moments of love. I've had a few moments of when everything just seemed to click.
Right?
That's love. Or you think of, if you had a nice mother who raised you carefully, you think about that. Because we haven't had so much, we think, oh, this is it. How can you criticize it? We don't understand the unlimited emotional expression of the spiritual world. Do you understand? Therefore, we take our little experience of the material world and make it so important. You understand? Because you haven't had the taste of anything better. So if I criticize the only thing that you've had, you'll be defensive. Just like if someone came here from some rich country, Switzerland or something like that, and just came to Ukraine and said, what is this place? Even though you might know, yes, there are some problems here, still you'd feel defensive. Right? You would, well, okay, we may not have so many things, but we are nice people. Isn't that so? Yes, you are nice people.
Yes.
Especially when you're a devotee. So, my point is, when you don't know anything better, you get very defensive about what you know. So if you truly want to understand the statement that there's no love in the material world, you must understand the spiritual world. Understanding the spiritual world and its love ultimately means understanding Krishna and the gopis. There's no better way of loving Krishna than that demonstrated by the gopis of Vrindavan. Now, even when the gopis would dress or comb their hair, they were not doing it for their sense gratification. You know the feeling when you dress yourself or you comb your hair? Yes, now I look nice. Right? You want to feel good about yourself? Isn't that so? And you're thinking, how will others look at me and praise me? It's like, you know, there's a mirror in the stairs right over here.
Yeah.
So when I'm leaving our seminar, I always watch and I see people go by the mirror and... Right? Because you want to see, want to feel good by looking good.
Потому что он хочет испытать приятное чувство, что мы ничего так нормально выглядим.
Yes, yes. Now, when Krishna's girlfriends would dress or comb their hair, what are they thinking?
Когда вы одеваетесь, причёсываетесь, о чём они думают?
No false ego.
Никакого ложного эго.
They're simply thinking Krishna will get pleasure by looking at us.
Они думают только о том, что Кришне понравится, когда он будет смотреть на нас.
That's all. 100%.
И всё, вот это вот. Больше ничего нет, кроме этого.
100% pure devotion.
Это 100% чистая преданность.
Whatever they did was 100% simply to give Krishna pleasure.
Всё, что они делали, это 100% для наслаждения Кришны.
Even when they would seem to get angry with Krishna.
Даже когда казалось бы, они гневались на Кришну.
They would do it just to please Krishna.
Они делали это для того, чтобы удовлетворить Кришну.
They knew Krishna enjoyed seeing us angry at him.
Они знали, что Кришна наслаждается, когда смотрит на наше рассерженное лицо.
They understood how to do everything 100% for Krishna's pleasure.
Они понимали, как делать всё на 100% для наслаждения Кришны.
Therefore, their love is super excellent.
Поэтому их любовь не имеет себе равных.
They never thought about their own pleasure.
Они никогда не думали о собственном наслаждении.
Now, can you go through one day without thinking of your pleasure?
Вы можете один день хотя бы прожить, не думая о собственном наслаждении?
How many of you tried this?
Кто из вас пытался?
From the time you wake up in the morning to the time you go to sleep at night, not once do you think about your own pleasure.
С самого пробуждения до отхода ко сну хотя бы раз вы не думали о своем наслаждении?
Try it tomorrow.
Попробуйте завтра.
As soon as you open up your eyes and you wake up, don't think about anything for your pleasure.
Как только просыпаетесь, не думайте о своем наслаждении.
Well, whose pleasure are you going to think of?
О чем наслаждении вы будете думать?
Because if you think about anyone in relation to your body, you're also thinking about your pleasure.
Потому что если вы подумаете о любом, кто связан с вашим телом, вы также думаете уже о своем чувственном наслаждении.
To not think of anyone, to not think of your own pleasure, means you have to think of Krishna's pleasure.
Не думать о своем наслаждении означает, что мы должны думать о наслаждении Кришны.
What is the best thing I can do at every moment to please Krishna?
Что я могу сделать самое лучшее каждую секунду, чтобы наслаждаться?
That is the standard of life in Vrindavan.
Такова жизнь во Вриндаване.
So, let's now go into the forest in Vrindavan. What has just happened?
Что только что произошло?
Krishna has played his flute and the gopis have raced out into the forest in the middle of the night.
Krishna играл на флейте, и гопи помчались по посреди ночи в лес Вриндаван.
And when they get there, what does Krishna do? He displays his supreme opulence of renunciation. The most beautiful ladies in the material and spiritual world are there before him in the middle of a lonely forest in the middle of the night. And what does Krishna say?
Что Кришна сказал?
Why are you here?
Вы почему сюда пришли?
What brings you to the forest at this time?
Что вас привело в этот лес в такое время?
He just acts completely detached.
Он действовал совершенно отрешенно.
This is God.
Это Бог.
Bhishma Dev, known as the greatest Brahmachari, he pointed this out.
Bhishma Dev, которого славят как великого Брахмачари, говорит об этом.
Why was Bhishma Dev the greatest Brahmachari?
Почему Бхишма Дев был великим Брахмачари?
Because he was a Kshatriya, and normally Kshatriyas don't take Brahmacharya.
Потому что он был Кшатрием, и как правило Кшатрии не принимают обет Брахмачари.
Kshatriyas have many wives.
У Кшатриев много жен.
Because they're passionate.
Потому что они люди страсти.
But Bhishma Dev took a vow of Brahmacharya. It was so astonishing that the demigods at that time showered flowers from the heavens. What, the greatest Kshatriya on the earth taking a vow of Brahmacharya? Part of Kshatriya life is that if a young lady approaches a Kshatriya and says, I want to take shelter of you, the Kshatriya has to accept her.
Как погода в Кшатрии, если какая-то женщина делает вам предложение, то вы должны ее принять.
and give protection.
И защищать разрушение.
So, it's just totally unheard of for a kshatriya to take a vow of brahmacharya.
Просто неслыханно, чтобы кшатрий принимал обет брахмачари.
But Bhishma Dev did that.
Но Бхишма Дев сделал это.
But what did Bhishma Dev say about Krishna? That people think I am the greatest brahmacharya. But what about Krishna? He was in the middle of the forest in the middle of the night. With the most beautiful women. Alone. And he was not disturbed. Bhishma Dev said, I could never do that. This is the example he gave why Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Is there any lady here as 1 million as beautiful as the gopis? Any? No. So take 100 of these ladies and put you, take a man here. Put you in the forest somewhere in Ukraine with 100 of the most beautiful ladies in the middle of the night. And they're all holding their arms at you, Sasha. And you would not be even slightly disturbed? It's inconceivable. That's what Bhishma Dev said. Bhishma Dev said, this has to be God. Because the gopis are a million times more beautiful than any woman in this world. And the Vrindavan forest is so beautiful at night. Full moon. Gentle breezes. Sweet smelling flowers. And the most beautiful women in all existence. There you are alone with them. And they're coming there just to please you. And what does Krishna say? Why are you here? Don't you understand this is not right? Young boy, you're young girls. We shouldn't be like this. Let me give you some instructions in Dharma. Could you have done that? What about Dharma? Anyway, forget that. And so when Krishna was speaking like that, the gopis just started looking at the forest. You know, when someone said something you don't want to hear, you just look away.
Yes.
You do that here in Ukraine? If someone tells you something you don't want to hear, you just start looking at the sky. So that's what the gopis did. And what did Krishna say? Aha! Now I know why you're here. You want to see the beauty of the forest. Okay, you've seen the beauty of the forest. Now go home. This is renunciation. Bhishma Dev is a Mahajan, one of the 12 authorities in devotional service. And he's presenting this proof that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But to understand that proof, you have to understand how beautiful the gopis are. Their bodies are completely spiritual. Every word they say is a song, every step is a dance. So, they spoke words to Krishna saying, you shouldn't treat us like this. These words were despondent. Sad. Now, were they thinking, Krishna, make us happy? No. Why were they sad? Because they wanted to please Krishna. They were simply thinking of Krishna's pleasure. They're thinking, Krishna, you can't be happy without us. This is pure devotion. So, Krishna is Yogeshvareshvara, the master of all masters of mystic power. He understood their purity. So, he began to enjoy with them. Although he is self-satisfied. You have to understand this. Krishna is full in himself. But out of mercy to fulfill his devotees' desires to please him. Krishna enjoyed spiritual bliss with them. There's no matter in Vrindavan. No material bodies. So how can there be material lust? So, amongst the gopis, Krishna appeared just like a moon surrounded by stars. And in this connection, Shukadeva Goswami calls Krishna Achyuta, infallible. Why is Krishna called Achyuta? In this situation? Because he did not fail to give each individual gopi pleasure. In other words, Krishna can satisfy unlimited devotees individually. So then what happened? They began to walk through the forest, and the gopis were singing his praises. Don't you want to hear that music? Krishna and the gopis wandering through the forest of Vrindavan. And the gopis are singing his holy names. And Krishna is also singing. And what is Krishna singing about? You want to know what Krishna sings about? In the middle of the night in the forest of Vrindavan? He's singing about the glories of the autumn moon. The glories of the moonlight. And the glories of the lotus-filled Jamuna River. Krishna knows how to make a romantic scene. So while Krishna is singing about those things, the gopis are just chanting his names repeatedly. And how was Krishna singing? Jiva Goswami says Krishna can sing many wonderful melodies and meters. All music originates from Goloka Vrindavan. And Krishna is the master of musical skills. In the relationship between Krishna and the gopis, that's where you find the origin of all music. So this is the artistic experience that we should aspire to see.
вот этот удивительный художественный опыт, вы должны жаждать получить этот опыт.
So then they went to the cool sand on the bank of the Jamuna River.
Затем они отправились на прохладные берега Ямуны.
Do you have anything like that in Ukraine?
Вот здесь есть в Украине такое.
The bank of the Dnieper?
No.
Of course, there's nothing like the bank of the Jamuna River in the material world. That's why we sing, Jamuna Tira Vanachari. Krishna plays on the bank of the river Jamuna. The sand is very cool. The Jamuna River is filled with lotus flowers. And they give off such a wonderful smell. Then what happened? Pride. But this is a mysterious pride. It seems the gopis became proud. We're getting such attention from Krishna, the Supreme Person. They don't think Krishna is God, but still, they know he's the best person. And each gopi thought, I'm the most fortunate woman on the earth. So now, don't you wonder, how could this be that the greatest devotees have this pride? Did some of you wonder how this could be? Who's thought about this before? Raise your hand. How could the dearest devotees, the greatest devotees, become proud? Well, their pride is not ordinary. Actually, they were proud of Krishna, the greatest of personalities. We are with the greatest person. And it's true that they were most fortunate. Actually, their pride is simply in Krishna. Also, this pride about themselves was created by the Leela Shakti. Krishna's pastime potency. So it wasn't their fault. Krishna's pastime energy in Vrindavan manifested pride in the gopis so that Krishna would leave them. Why should Krishna leave them? To give them the most intense experience of love. What does the Shastra say? Direct contact is not fully appreciated until separation has been experienced. Hard to understand, huh? In the material world, separation means misery. But in the spiritual world, separation brings about the presence of the person even more intensely. So by leaving the gopis, Krishna is showing them great favor. And that you can see in the next verse of the Bhagavatam. Lord Keshava, seeing the gopis too proud of their good fortune, wanted to relieve them of this pride. That you can understand, yes? But what about the next statement? And he wanted to show them more mercy. The word in Sanskrit is prasad. How do you get mercy, prasad, by Krishna leaving you?
Как можно получить просад, если Кришна оставляет вас?
So Krishna immediately disappeared.
Krishna immediately disappeared.
Actually, he's not neglecting the gopis.
На самом деле, он не пренебрегает гопи.
He's acting to increase the power of their loving affairs.
Он поступает так, чтобы усилить их любовь.
Please understand that.
Пожалуйста, попробуйте это понять.
Now, what happens in the forest?
Что происходит в лесу?
Very interesting situation.
Очень интересная ситуация.
After Krishna disappears, the gopis start lamenting.
После того, как Кришна исчезает, гопи начинают сокрушаться.
They start searching through the forest for Krishna.
Они начинают искать по лесу, искать Кришну по лесу.
How do they look through the forest for Krishna?
Как же они ищут его?
They look for footprints of the Supreme Lord.
Они ищут отпечатки стоп Верховного Господа.
Krishna's footprints are very distinctive. So they see, look at this on the ground. We see the footprints. These footprints have all the emblems of Krishna. So they began to follow the footprints in the moonlight. Can you see the scene? The forest of Vrindavan, in the middle of the night, lit up by the moon. So they go a little further, and what do they find? Whose footprints are these mixed with Krishna's footprints? They were very clever. This must be the footprints of a gopi who's most dear to Krishna. So then what? Then what happened? They began to think, who could this person be? How can it be that someone loved Krishna more? Actually, you see, there are two groups of gopis. Some are rivals to Srimati Radharani and some are allies of Srimati Radharani. So the ones who are rivals, they're saying like that. Who is this with Krishna? How dare Krishna act like this? But those gopis who were allies of Radharani, they were happy. Oh, this is a detail. So they followed the two sets of footprints. And then they saw, look at this! Krishna's footprints are pressed very heavily into the earth. And her footprints have disappeared. We know what that means. Krishna has picked her up and put her on his shoulder. So he walked a little further. Look at this! We only see half of Krishna's footprints. And then we see that there's some place on the ground where someone's been sitting. We know what's happening. Krishna put her down and then he stood on his toes to reach some high flowers in the tree. And they walked a little further. Look at this spot! We know what happened here. Krishna was sitting with her and putting flowers in her hair. They could figure all this out just by looking at the ground. This is the best scientific intelligence. In this way, the gopis are the best scientists. All their intelligence is used for understanding Krishna. So they can see just what happened. At this spot, she sat down, and Krishna sat down behind her, And then Krishna was putting flowers in her hair. They were right. And then, after a while, they came to another spot. Oh, we can tell what happened here. We just see Krishna's footprints again. She must have said to Krishna, "I'm so sorry, I'm so tired. Put me on your shoulder, take me wherever you like." We know what Krishna said. He said, "Yes, yes, as you like." And then he must have disappeared. That's probably what happened. So they walked a little further. And there they found Krishna's most beloved consort. She was lamenting. She told him, "Yes, what you conjectured is true. I was with Krishna. I began to feel pride being the most chosen one. I misbehaved by ordering Krishna, 'Put me on your shoulder.' Then he left me." Is it possible Srimati Radharani feels pride and she misbehaved? No. She's out of humility feeling that way. You see, this is part of Bhakti Bhava. You can be the dearest devotee in Krishna and still humbly you think, "I have so many faults." What happens when a devotee prays to Srimati Radharani? She recommends you to Krishna. What does she say to Krishna? "This devotee is better than me. You please give your grace to this devotee." Now, once again, these romantic pastimes have nothing to do with material lust. You see, in bhakti, we don't completely reject the concept of romance. The height of bhakti bhava means to accept romantic attraction in its absolute, perfect, pure form. That is Radha Krishna Lila. So it is wrong to think that in Krishna consciousness we totally reject romance. No, we simply recognize that real romance exists completely in the spiritual world. There's not one drop of material lust or selfishness in the loving affairs of Radha and Krishna. But what about the so-called romantic affairs of this material world? Have you ever seen any romance in the material world that has not one drop of material lust or selfishness? Who has seen such a thing in the material world? Not one drop. Have you seen? No. Impossible. Therefore, the impersonalists say perfection means zero. No desires, no personal qualities. But what does the Shastra say? The Shastra says perfection means pure, perfect individuality and desires. Therefore, in the spiritual world, you find real romance, real beauty.
настоящее романтическое отношение, настоящую красоту.
Now sometimes materialists say, oh, you Vaishnavas are just imagining all these things. You see these leelas as beautiful and therefore you get all absorbed. No, this is not our imagination. First of all, in order to be Krishna conscious, you must strictly follow regular principles. There's no illicit sex. So why is it that devotees would be meditating on some ordinary romance? Furthermore, the process of bhakti is not theoretical. The greatest sages and saints have been practicing this process for millions of years. And then, to understand these pastimes, you have to see them with purified eyes. Have you ever seen some relationship in this world where the person says to you, if you're going to see me, you're going to have to become pure? No, no one said like that. You've never had that happen to you. In order for you to have a relationship with me, your eyes must be completely purified of material contamination. Has anyone ever told you that? Of course not. So therefore there is a difference between the false romance of the material world and the romance of the spiritual world. Finally, the fact is that if you meditate on Radha Krishna Leela in the proper consciousness, you become free from all sex desire. Shukadeva Goswami said that. But you have to be mature enough to take this cure. In other words, even to take that cure, you must become qualified. When your Krishna consciousness reaches a proper level, then you can take this cure for lust. By meditating on Radha Krishna Leela, you'll become free from lusty desire. But to become qualified to take that cure, you have to work very hard in Krishna consciousness. So, this is the nature of Bhakti Bhava at its height. Still, even the gopis think, we are Krishna's maid servants. That is Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami's point. When Krishna disappeared from them, they would cry out, we are your maid servants, please come back. We'll end with a very beautiful prayer from Srimati Radharani. Her prayer that she recites in separation from Krishna when Krishna left her in the forest. This prayer is quoted in Chaitanya Charitamrita. He Nata Ramana Prishta Kvasi Kvasi Mahabhuja Dasyaste Kripanaya Me Sake Darshaya Sannidhim. O Master, O my lover, O dear most,
O Господин, O my beloved, O самый дорогой,
where are you? Where are you? Please, O mighty arm one, O friend, show yourself to me, your poor servant. So Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur describes in detail this beautiful prayer. Srimati Radharani is saying, my dear Lord, I'm burning in the great fire of separation from you. This fire is called Prema Agni. The fire of love of Krishna. I'm burning in that fire of separation and my life air is about to leave my body. My life air is about to leave my body. So, why is Srimati Radharani asking Krishna to save her? She knows, if I die, Krishna will not be able to find full happiness. Therefore, I should live. This is pure devotion. I feel like I'm going to die, but I shouldn't die. Because if I die, how will Krishna get the pleasure he requires? And she said, even if I do die, I still will not be able to tolerate the pain of seeing you unhappy because I'm gone. She's thinking what it'll be like if she's dead. I'll still be in pain because I'll know that Krishna won't be happy. He can't be happy without me. Finally, Krishna says, all right, my love, I'm very pleased with you. Please come to me. But what does she say? I'm blinded by lamentation. I can't see where you are. Please tell me where you are. So that at this point, the gopis and Srimati Radharani are searching the forest for Krishna. And finally, they get to a part of the forest where the moonlight does not shine. That means they can't see Krishna's footprints anymore. So they go to the bank of the Jamuna River and there they sing songs of separation for Krishna. So this is the perfection of Bhakti Bhava. But even these greatest devotees, they think we are simply Krishna's maid servants. Alright, thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.